The message tonight, I'm not really sure, but it might kind of dovetail into what I'm going to be covering on Sunday. And in 1 Timothy, you can go ahead and turn over there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Well, we know that in those days, they did not have a Bible the way we have it. They had, well, in fact, some people, they might have had parts of the Old Testament, but they did not have the New Testament. It was in the process of being written. So when Paul writes this, says, you know, "I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, what he's talking about here is the prophetic word that went forth. Now, what kind of prophetic words went forth for Timothy? I don't totally know. All I know is prophetic words went forth, and maybe Timothy wrote them down. I don't know the whole process, how they did it back then. But Paul is telling him, pay attention to these and use them as a foundation for your spiritual walk. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So then what we're seeing here is the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, don't forget these prophecies, because they are vital to you and your spiritual growth, your spiritual maturity, and as he puts it in 1 Timothy 2, verse 18, you know, that by them thou mightest war a good warfare. Well, what does that mean? What kind of warfare? What are you warring against? Well, essentially two things. Technically three, but essentially two things. Your flesh, and then also, demonic forces, you know, the enemy. And then you're also warring against people, you know, false doctrine is a way to put it. And a lot of that is going on even to this day. But he's saying, you know, hold on to these prophecies and use them, because they're going to help you accomplish everything that God wants you to accomplish. Well, then we see in 2 Timothy where he makes a statement, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So Timothy has these prophecies. The Apostle Paul says, hold on to these and use them, refer to them, because they're going to help you wage warfare in this life. Then he tells Timothy, to those who are warring, in 2 Timothy, to those who are warring, well, they don't allow themselves to get entangled with the affairs of this life. He doesn't say they ignore the affairs of this life. He says they don't allow themselves to be entangled in the affairs of this life. Said a little bit differently, they don't allow the things of this life to supersede the war that's going on, the growth that's supposed to be taking place. Or another way to say that might be, they don't allow the affairs of this life to take precedence over the prophecies that have gone before. Now, all of that would apply to us as well. When it comes to the prophecies, it's easy to diminished them as far as the level of importance that we give to them. Like, okay, great, we got a prophecy. Hallelujah. And some people, I don't know, their whole perspective of the concept of prophecies is kind of different. I don't know, it's like they live from prophecy to prophecy, not live by prophecy, but live from prophecy. In other words, they just want another word from God. We want to be a part of a prophetic church where God speaks. Well, you know what? I could stand up here and read the Bible to you, and that's God speaking. I don't have to stand up here and say, yeah, thus saith the Lord. All I have to do, I could stand here and read the entire book of 2 Timothy to you, and that's God speaking. Well, the whole thing of prophecy, it plays a critical role in what we're doing here. We've had a lot of prophecies come forth here. And we're working on, I'm working on, getting them more effectively uploaded to our website. And, you know, it takes time to get all this done. But what I'm going to do is read some prophecies to you tonight. One of the things that is interesting, if you remember, I think it was last Sunday, maybe, where I shared how that, you know, we're at a crossroads. We're at a place now as a congregation. God has been, all these years, He's been leading us in this direction. Where we are right now, could we have been there sooner? Absolutely. But, all that aside, we are there now as a congregation. And what that means is, every single person who calls this their home church, you're a part of this, whether you like it or not. You're a part of this. We refer to ourselves as, you know, a remnant revival church, a remnant outpouring church, whatever. And, you know, that sounds really good, but the only way that's going to be true is if we keep pressing in from where we are now. And this is going to require a lot of diligence on our part. You know, God talks about all that can be shaken is going to be shaken. I mean, that's in Scripture. I didn't write the verse down. We have to be willing to be shaken. That's just all there is to it. And this includes me. You know, I have been doing a lot of personal review of my life concerning how I manage my time. The Bible talks about redeeming your time. And I'm seeing things and areas. Some things, you know, when John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Well, there's a lot about my time. Some aspects of my time must decrease, while other things must increase as far as my time is concerned. So I'm in a place of learning in all of this and growing in all of this. But the thing is, I can't do your part for you. And all I can tell you is, you know, if you don't want this, you won't get it. Now, that doesn't mean that you know, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not it at all. I'm talking of, okay, let me say it another way. People getting healed should not be a foreign experience. Are you with me? People getting healed shouldn't be something that we sit around and just hope takes place. It is supposed to be an expectation. That's why it was in the New Testament. It was an expectation. You'll be healed. That's just the way it is. Well, that's not just the way it is in this church. Now, it should be. It shouldn't be something to where we don't know if it's going to happen or not. There should be an expectation. Every time that someone is prayed for or ministered to concerning healing, there should be the expectation it's going to happen. That's not where we are at this point. But it's where we should be. Well, how do we get to that point? Well, we continue to grow and mature spiritually. And you know, the whole thing of, well, if I could just see this happen before my very eyes, if I could just see some healings. Guess what? So what if you do? How's that going to help you? Because what you're doing is you're exalting an experience above what God has said in His Word. So, you know, you could see all kinds. Hey, listen. I know of people. They have seen healing after healing after healing after healing after healing. As far as I can tell, they are no further along in God than they were when they saw the first healing. I know this for a fact. So, okay, so you see healings. But a healing is not the Word of God. Do you follow that? The Word of God is the Word of God. So if we aren't doing our part to grow, well, then it's not going to happen. Now I want to read some of these to you. This one came forth from the Family Prayer Center down in Tulsa. It's entitled, Seek This Place with All Diligence. I rejoice in you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I rejoice in my people, in their homecoming, their coming to the place of desiring to know me in a continual place of fellowship and of truth, says the Spirit of the Lord. For you to enter into this next phase of the reality of this realm, I'm asking you, and for those who have ears to hear, I'm commanding you to seek this place with all diligence. For everything that you've learned to this point, take those things and diligently seek me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Watch again, as I have said before, your busyness. Busyness, even in good things, will detour you from birthing that which is perfect, says the Spirit of the Lord. When you pray, things slow down. When you spend time in my presence, your life slows down. When you fast and pray, your life slows down so that I can minister to you and, for many of you, warn you and give you preparation for the days ahead. But those of you that will continually busy yourself unnecessarily, you won't even know what is necessary or unnecessary or how to divide the two unless you preface your life with prayer. These are the days of birthing. Count every moment, as I do with you, precious. Precious and to be enjoyed. Know that everything that you are doing and every moment that you spend is bringing this to pass in the birthing of it, says the Spirit of the Lord. Take these hours extremely seriously and extremely valuable, as I count them myself valuable, says the Spirit of the Lord. You know, this goes right along with not entangling yourself with the affairs of life. Now, I'm just going to be, I don't know what you do. I don't know your life. I really don't know what any of you do. I mean, the only person I know in this room what the person does is Kathy, my wife. That's it. But the rest of you, I don't know what you do, but I will say this. I am confident that the majority of the people who attend this church, who call this their home church, you are entangled in the affairs of life. Not sin, but the affairs of life. And God is saying that's got to change. And here's what I've noticed. Where He talks about when you pray, things slow down. When you spend time in my presence, your life slows down. You see, in a weird way that we cannot explain, when we spend time with God, it's like we have more time left over to do what we need to do, even though you still only have 24 hours in a day. That's supernatural. It cannot be explained in the natural, but it works. But the busyness of the whatever, you know, that will suck the life right out of your time. It's almost like it causes time to evaporate. Now, for us, listen, God says right in this, you know, for those who have ears to hear, I'm commanding you to seek this place with all diligence. Now, he's talking primarily about that place of fellowship with him. But along with that is a congregational statement, meaning if you call this your home church, God is saying, you need to be here. You need to be here. And there are a lot of people who allow the affairs of life to pull them away, whatever that means. I'm not calling it sin, just the affairs of life. And we, listen, every single one of us, and I've done this myself, we can always justify the affairs of life and make ourselves feel comfortable in doing them above doing what God is describing here. If you were, I've never been in the military, but, you know, my dad was, my brother was, and some of you have been. You know, in the military, there was recourse if the soldiers don't do what the sergeant tells them to do. And you can be locked up in prison. You know, they can have the MPs come and drag you out. You can have a dishonorable discharge. You know, all kinds of things can happen. Very bad things can happen to you. And so they tell you, here's what you do. And it doesn't matter if you want to do it or not. You are not allowed to be entangled in the affairs of life. You can't. You can have affairs of life, but you cannot be entangled in the affairs of life. In fact, when I don't know if it's still true, but at one point, here in the United States, when you signed up to be in the military and you were in a boot camp, you know, for at least part, if not all, of boot camp, you were not allowed to call home. You weren't allowed to contact your family. This is it. This boot camp. You're learning how to be a soldier for your country. Now, granted, not all the soldiers wanted to go along with that. And some got in trouble and what have you. But when it comes to this, you know, God honors our free will. And He doesn't put us in the brig. He doesn't send big angels, you know, HP, Heavenly Police. He doesn't send them to grab you and drag you away. No, He says you can choose whatever you want. But I cannot use you if you don't do what I'm saying. It's just not going to happen. That's for me and for all of us, for every single one of us. One of the things that concerns me is, you know, when he talks about for you to enter into this next phase of the reality of this realm, one of the things that concerns me is, are we going to lose people here? I mean, how many more are going to walk out the doors and not come back? How many more are just not going to be here? Because, you know, I hope none. But that's kind of the price you pay. I hope everybody here is serious about this. And you know what? If you're not serious, at least hang around and support those who are. At least be there for us. But he says, here's what you have to do. Count every moment precious. Precious to be enjoyed. Every moment with him. It's, you know, when I was, there's just so much to say. You kind of, you either want to do it or you don't. And I can't, I'm not even going to try to force your hand. And I know that some people, I mean, I've been accused of being a cult leader. No, seriously. I was referred to as Jim Jones. It was actually written down and left in a pew for me. Now, that's just plain nuts. But I can stand up here and I can tell you, here's what you need to do and here's what you're supposed to do. But it's not like I'm going to follow you home. It's not like, well, nowadays, I'm not going to like buy drones to fly around and peek in your windows. You know, you either do it or you don't. And I don't take attendance. There are times when Kathy has asked me, was so-and-so at church? And I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So, we either want to do this or we don't. And it's like God is saying, okay, look, you've come this far. Now, do you want to go further? Do you want to go into what you might call the next level? Let me read this next one. And what's interesting is that as I begin reading this, you're going to recognize that it's in the process of happening here now. So listen. Change is coming in gatherings. I will be stretching all, for the order that has been in place is changing in every gathering concerning my army. The stretching is simply the change that is working as waiting upon me and following my spirit come to a new level. It is one thing to follow my leading individually. It is another to follow me individually in a group setting for all who are gathered. That is so important. Now here's what he's talking about here. It's one thing to follow my leading individually. It is another to follow me individually in a group setting for all who are gathered. For example, this past Sunday night, we had the worship, and then it was another one of those times of quietness before God. So, how many of you fell asleep during that time? Now, you know, you think, oh, that's funny. No, I'm serious. How many of you fell asleep during that time? Remember what Jesus said to Peter? You know, can't you tarry with me for an hour? And they all fell asleep. And that happened how many times? Our time of silence in here, you know, sitting in the presence of God was only about 30 minutes. I didn't think it was that long. And I didn't realize it was that long until I looked at the recording after the fact. How many of you, during that time, stayed focused on the Lord, and how many of you were on the beach in Florida? How many of you were focused on the Lord during that time, and how many of you were at home cooking dinner? I mean, in your mind, in your imaginations. This is what he's talking about as far as individually, following him individually in a group setting for all who are gathered. You know, casting down the imaginations and staying focused on him. It's a war. I get it. I totally understand. It is a war. But the victory is worth it. Well, he continues with this and he says, those who come to have their needs met and do not participate in what I am doing will especially be stretched in order to stay through what I am doing. How many come this close to getting up and walking out during those times of silence before God? We've had people leave our services because they just weren't comfortable with what was happening. Well, that's up to you. We've had people get up and leave during the praise and worship. I guess they didn't like the song. I don't know. Part of it had to do because we had women up here leading the praise and worship. I know that. Well, those who come to have their needs met. How many times do we come in here to get a need met when we should be coming in here to fellowship with God? And if the byproduct is a need met, hallelujah. You know that song, I forget the name of it. You know, I came here to, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember all the words, but something along the lines of, you know, I came here to worship you. You know, you don't owe me anything. I just came here to be with you. Is that really what's going on? Well, you know, I need to get ready and I need to go to church today because I need to receive a healing. That's not the reason to come. I mean, it's okay to come for that, but that shouldn't be the primary reason that you show up. I'm coming to fellowship with God, and if my healing manifests, hallelujah. If it doesn't, you know what? I'm still going to fellowship with God because I know His Word can't fail. Well, he continues this, and he says, Those who come to have their needs met and do not participate in what I am doing will especially be stretched in order to stay through what I am doing. But what I am doing is necessary for my army. Change is coming. And my army knows this. Some of you, have you not sensed on the inside something stirring? I don't know what it is, but something stirring. Something. But it's God. And it's a good thing. He says, some have an impatience with what is and what they know will be, but cast aside the impatience and be mindful that I know what I am doing. I am using many things as the purging process. Allow me to bring forth purging in whatever means I choose. Gatherings are changing. Obviously, around here, our gatherings have been changing. And praise God for it. Gatherings are changing. I am not critical of where each one has been and how my gatherings operate, as if you are late getting to this place in me. You are on time. There has been much to be learned, much to be gained, and much to let go of as you increase in me. Waiting on me is vital. Learning to flow with me individually in the corporate setting, for many will be coming to gatherings in the days ahead, and my army must be prepared to not be moved by anything except my leadings. It's so important. See, we're at a place now to where if we do these things that he's talking about, then when folks come in, we then become the example on what to do when we're following God and He is moving. Because, listen guys, I remember I was raised Southern Baptist. My first time in a Spirit-filled church, it was really new to me. And things happened that I was told aren't supposed to happen. Things happened that I was told have passed away. However, the people in the congregation were in a flow. And because the people in the congregation were in a flow, that then established for me something is happening here, and these people kind of know what's happened. They know what's going on. They understand this. Well, if they can understand it, then so can I. We are the leaders. We are the ones that help to set the pace, if you will, and help people understand what's happening. Look, you need to understand a lot of folks, if they come in, when they come in and they see things they don't understand, they may not come to me. They may come to you. So therefore, there needs to be a readiness to explain what's taking place. He says, flow with me. Worship is key in flowing with me and learning to progress in me. Worship is key. Those who take time with me are learning to follow me in these days you're in. Not just individually, but corporately, it is change that I am bringing. Keen eyes, keen ears, a keen heart are being shaped by my hands, by those who are turning themselves over to me. The gatherings are changing, and it is my doing. Stay in the flow with me, for I am the one who is bringing about the changes of which I speak. Follow me. Well, that perfectly describes what's going on here. God is saying change is coming. Things are happening. It's not the same as it used to be. And glory to God for it. He says, but you've got to stay focused on me and follow me and flow with me. Well, see, the only way that's really going to happen is when we become, while he talks here about the worship. How many times have we had prophecies over the years about worship and how it is key to being able to flow with God and experience His moving and so forth? And here God is saying that right in this prophecy. I honestly feel sorry for people who understand about worship. What I mean by that is who they've heard the teaching about worship, and they've heard the teaching about it, and they've heard the teaching, but they just don't do it. I feel sorry for them. Because they're missing out with God. Whether they believe it or not, they are. Because if God says worship is a key, then guess what? Worship is a key. Here's another, this is a shorter prophecy. He says, it's titled, "You Will See More Unusual Things." Some are watching and saying, well, this is strange. I've never seen this before. What the church today calls strange, my early church called normal. You will see more unusual things as my Spirit takes over the services and brings the mind of my Father to fruition right before your eyes. Think not these things are strange. We are moving into a new era. We are moving into the end of the end times where the Father once again is going to have His way. He will be doing the works through you. You know, Jesus is with us in this. So when we're going forward, He's there with us. And the Holy Spirit is there with us. So when He talks about we are moving into a new era, well, it's not really new to Him, but it's new to us. And in our perspective, it's new to Him doing it with us as we go forward. But He knows what's coming. So yeah, He does know what He's doing. He knows what's going on. This next one, I'm going to read the first part of this and then just share something that happened when I was reading this the first time. And I don't even have a title for this one. It came from the prayer center in Tulsa, not this past Sunday, but the previous. So I don't know what they've titled this, but listen to this. He says, "I was weary with Israel and how they refused to repent and return to me. They were worshiping idols. They had gone so far as to bring the idols, the pagan gods who are not gods, works of men's hands made out of stone and wood, and they brought them into my house. They brought them into the temple to bow down before that which is not God, and they did it in my face. And I became weary, and I sent prophet after prophet after prophet, for they had not the Holy Ghost as you have, in order to report them my displeasure. Report to them what was coming. Report to them the judgment. And my heart was maybe they will hear my prophet. Maybe they will hear and repent." Now let me stop right there. As I was reading this, immediately, God brought back to me, and it was a vision, and it was a vision of a video I had watched on YouTube. Now, this was a video of a church service, praise and worship. That's where I find a lot of the songs that we use during the pre-service worship. I find them on YouTube and so forth. So anyway, I'm reading this, and immediately, I'm seeing this video again. Now, to help you understand what was in this video, many, many years ago, you know, back when I was living for the Lord, I used to go to rock concerts. Now, in those concerts, you know, the arenas are filled and the group is up there and they're singing. Well, when they would start singing a song that was a major hit, then the crowd would start, cheering and clapping and all this other. And there were some times when the person up front, the first few chords on the guitar, everybody knew what song it was. Or the first few chords on the piano, everybody knew what song it was. And and they're cheering and doing all this. Well, in this vision, the vision was that I had was not altered. It was like I was playing the video again. In this video, here's what was going on. Now the worship song, it was good. It was a really good song. And I'm thinking, yeah, we could incorporate that, you know, pre-service worship and so forth. Really good song. But what happened was this. The praise team is up there, and I don't know how many people were in the congregation, maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000. I'm not really sure. It's kind of hard to tell because they had all these cameras and they kept switching the camera shots and all that. But anyway, the person's up there on the stage leading, and he's playing the guitar and leading. and he's got a t-shirt and these raggedy old jeans with holes in the knees. And as soon as he starts playing the first few chords, the people in the congregation started, yeah, yeah. And like I said, that is exactly what happened in that video. And I'm reading this, and God gives me the vision. And as I'm watching this again in the vision, here's what he said. They're worshiping the performance, not me. And I'm immediately thinking of all these videos that I've seen where this has happened. As soon as the song begins and the people know it, then the crowd starts, yeah! Now, I want you to think about this. Now, the song that was playing in this video, it was not a fast song. You know, the song that we sing here that seems to be rather popular, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. All right, everybody likes that song? Yeah. Okay. But when the praise team starts playing that song, the people in this church don't start going, yeah, whoo, all right, whoo, 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 whoo. No, what do? We start praising God, right? But we don't react like it's a rock concert. That's like the number one fast song at Grace Christian Center. Okay, we don't react like we're at a rock concert. But that is what happens far too much in these videos. Whether it's a fast song or even a slow one, the people start, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when the song is over, it's just like being at a rock concert. Yeah, they clap and cheer and so forth. Now, I'm not saying 100% of all the people in these congregations are like that, but the majority are. And God said, He spoke to me and He said, they're worshiping the performance, not me. In other words, they've turned the performance into the idol. This is one of the reasons why a lot of these churches are growing so fast. They've got a great praise team. In fact, the guy that was singing this song, at one point in the song, he said something about, come on, let's raise the roof in this place, something like that. It's like, okay, I'll raise the roof to praise Jesus, but there was an impurity about what was happening. But the song was great. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that was there that day was doing that. I have no doubt there were some people there genuinely praising the Lord. But for the most part, look, God wouldn't have said that if that's not what was going on. I didn't ask for this vision. I mean, it just happened. And this goes on far too much. And God is trying to call these people back to this place of true worship. You know, what's that one song? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It can be a fast, medium, or slow song, but it's supposed to be all about Him. And it's not been like that. But I'll tell you what, you want to make your church grow? You create that kind of an atmosphere. People will show up. Oh, yeah. I remember one time there was a preacher. He was in a service. Now, well, that's what was going on. I mean, the praise team was jamming. I mean, in the crowd was made up of a bunch of, 20, 30, 40 somethings, and yeah, they're going with it and all this other. Well, then the preacher got up and he said, folks, let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Let's just worship. Jesus, I praise you. I worship you. I glorify you. And he's doing that for a little bit. And he said, I realized it was kind of quiet. And so he kind of opens one eye and looks, and everybody's watching him. A minute ago, they were into it. The praise team was jamming and the people were hopping and everything seemed like it was all about the Lord. But the moment they had the opportunity, just worship Him, they didn't know what to do. They were clueless. They were self-conscious. Now, to continue with this, he said, there were seasons of repentance, but then they would lapse back into the same again. And finally, judgment could no longer be spared. Have we not been learning about judgment here recently? And I loved my bride Israel, yet she gave me no choice. The sin of the church today, my bride, is in some camps similar to that, but in this camp, now it's talking about where we are, okay? But in this camp, it is unbelief. Those of you who have endured the purging time have walked much more narrowly before me, and I am greatly pleased with that, says the Lord. You should be greatly pleased also because it has spared you. It has spared you from the kind of judgment that Israel had to endure. But beyond, there is a higher walk that I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to the walk of my son Jesus to allow him to live his life through you, for he truly is the vine and you are the branch, but the fruit cannot appear on the vine without the branch. I am calling you now to this season of transformation, this season of transformation now to go from unbelief to belief, for you will believe me. I have more faith in you than you have in me. You are my hope in the earth. I do believe you will walk in the truth of my gospel. I do believe I have found the group, not only in this building, but I have found a group of people who will believe me and allow my life to flow through you as the branch into this earth, so that those who know me not cannot rear up and say, the church is no better than us. The church is no different than us. So they cannot stand up arrogantly and say there is no God. They must see. They must see the demonstration of the living God through you, says the Lord. And this goes right along with something I shared here not too long ago, how that there has to be a difference between us. We have to be visibly different to the backsliders, to the lukewarm, to the carnally minded, to the lost. We have to be different. And the only one that's going to happen is if we become different. We're already born again, but born again doesn't mean you have a Christ-like lifestyle. That only comes by pressing deeper into Christ and being a reflection of who He is. And here's another prophecy that came forth on this same Sunday. I am moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. I am moving you from theory to reality, says the Lord. I am moving you from an earthly understanding of even divine things to a divine understanding of earthly things. You shall enter into my rooms where I shall fellowship with you, and your soul is about to go through a transformation unlike anything you have ever seen before. Even your natural mind is going to yield and begin thinking according to the instruction of my Spirit, and your mind will bow to my knowledge and stop surrendering to yours. But we have to continue doing our part. We have to keep pressing in. We have to keep doing this. And I know it sounds like a broken record when I say these things, but again, those of you that have been here for a long time, think back to the way it was on February 21st, 1999. It was nowhere near the way it is now. A lot of people have left. But as far as what God was doing then compared to what's happening now, there's a massive difference. But it's been slow and steady. In fact, it could have been quicker, but, it is what it is, and that's just how it is, and so here we are. The thing is, the more that we press in, we can accelerate this move of God. Because it's all dependent upon us. He's ready. He said, if you ask according to my will, I'll do it. I hear you, and I'll do it. So therefore, we say, oh God, we want an outpouring. And God says, no problem. I'll give you the outpouring. I will give you as much of an outpouring as you can handle. I've got an outpouring for you that you can't imagine. But you have to be ready for it. You have to facilitate it. The spigot's already open, full blast. But you have to facilitate this. So again, that's up to us. Listen to this one. Those who know me and bow their hearts and lives to me have great authority, an authority that is increasing. But great are the numbers of those who wring their hands and cry out in anguish at what is happening in their land. My word speaks of the things that are happening and that shall come upon the world. But many of my own cry out, and their words are stout against me, for they speak words of hopelessness and fear and dismay at the turmoil they are seeing. Those who have no intimacy with me do not know the times or seasons that they are in, but my army knows. Yours is a time of intense training, and I have been building you up as a special force, even as you have in your military, forces that go behind enemy lines to deliver captives into freedom, to stop the hand of the enemy. In like manner, you are being trained to prevail in different conditions and circumstances while holding fast to your mission, no matter the odds, no matter the circumstances. Though the nations wring their hands and cry out at the things that are happening, your words, the truth you decree, your songs of praise and worship, your prayers in the Spirit are hitting their mark against your adversaries. There are shifts and changes taking place through your fellowship with me, and your prayers are piercing the darkness. If you could see into the heavenlies and see what I see, you would see the angel armies working in response to your prayers and decrees. Hold fast. You are my special forces, and you are infiltrating camps of the enemy. Many of the results of your warfare will not fully be understood until the day that you are with me, but the course of life that you have enlisted in with me is having a tremendous impact against your adversary. Though the enemy's pressure is increasing, and though this purging season has its own intensity, know that every moment in our fellowship, every moment, is changing the course of these things spiritually, not only for you, but for the many who will be impacted by your life in me. You are my special forces. You are penetrating into the camps of your enemy. Be bold and bolder still, for each moment in our fellowship is having an impact on many, many things. Ride out this season in me. Ride out this time of finishing. Your face is set like a flint on one thing, and that is me. And know my pleasure, know that I am pleased. You know, this goes right along with a message I delivered some time back about how that we need to see ourselves as the special forces for God. And this is what he's saying. Now guys, listen to this. God is telling us that our prayers and our worship, especially the praying of the Spirit, but our confessions, our declarations, he's telling us right here, we are having an impact in the realm of the Spirit in the camp of the enemy. We are, as he says here, we're going behind enemy lines and we're doing damage to the enemy. Now, you look at it in the natural, what he's talking about here, all the stuff that's going on in the world, you know, the military conflicts, the plagues, I mean, all this stuff, and he's talking about how that so many in the body of Christ, you know, they speak forth the fear, the hopelessness, and all the... Do you not see that on social media? And the problem is, some of you guys, you've joined in the fray. You allowed yourself to be sucked into the debate. Leave it alone. You know, there's a scripture I just now came to mind. I don't remember where it is, but it's in the New Testament, and it's where the Apostle Paul, I believe, is writing, and he says, him that will be ignorant, just let him be ignorant. You know what? You've got a bunch of Christians out there. They're ignorant. Let them be ignorant. Do not jump in the pool with them. Let it go. Bite your tongue. Sit on your fingers. Don't type anything. Just don't. Let it go. Don't let your emotions drive you into a place you don't need to be. Separate yourself from all that stuff. God is telling us we're having an impact, even though in the natural, we may not see it. Even though in the natural, what we don't see tells our senses nothing's happening, God is saying, you need to get past that. And you need to realize, these times of fellowship that you have with me, your praise and worship, your confessions, your declarations, your praying in the Spirit, you're making an impact on the enemy. Do you remember a story in the Old Testament? It was either Elijah, Elisha, anyway. The enemy armies, there they are. And then, you know, he prays, the prophet prays. Well, the enemy armies, they go blind. And they don't know what to do. Well, anyway, he leads them into the camp of the good guys. And then they get their vision back. It's like, how did we get here? Well, you know, the commander of the good guys says, you know, well, let's just kill them. The prophet says, no. You know, just give them something to eat, you know, send them back home. They've learned their lesson. Now, the point I'm making is this. That is a natural event describing what is happening in the realm of the Spirit. As we begin, through our praise and worship, through our confessions and our declarations, through our praying in tongues, we create a blindness in the camp of the enemy. We can declare and confess confusion in the camp of the enemy. People are being delivered because of what we do. It may not be here next door or down the street or whatever. What we're doing here, okay, let me just say it this way. We all know what's been going on over in Afghanistan. What if these times that we've had of prayer and worship here have done damage to the plans of the enemy so that some people were able to get out of Afghanistan alive that otherwise would not? We don't know. And that's why God says, some of this you're not going to understand until you're here with me. We cannot go by what we see. We have to go by what God has declared. And therefore, if God says that all of these things work, if God says in His Word, you do this, the worship, the confession, the declarations, the praying in the Spirit, all these things, you do this, and here are things that are going to happen. And then He reinforces it through prophecies like this. The folks, we should come here rejoicing, knowing that glory to God, I am going to be in the congregation with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are going to have a time of praise and worship unto Almighty God. And when we do, we are going behind enemy lines. We are having an impact on the forces of Satan, and we are stopping him. We're stopping some of the plans. We're bringing disruption to what he wants to do. Maybe not in this city, but somewhere, somehow, we are having an impact. We should come looking forward to this. We shouldn't be dragging our butts in here 10, 15 minutes after it all starts. We should be here in plenty of time to be a part of it. But see, if we don't understand this and accept these truths, then it just becomes a function, a thing that we do, and our heart's not in it the way it should be. But God is saying, look, if you'll get in, if you'll jump in with both feet, you're going to see change the likes of which you have never experienced or even anticipated. Because God said in His Word that He can do more than we could ever think or ask, according to His power that worketh in us. So we release that power through our prayers, through our confessions, our declarations, through our praise, through our worship. And things are happening, guys. Things are happening. Here's another thing to consider. Is it possible that through what we're doing here, we have actually stopped a certain number of murders, rapes, molestations, muggings, and so forth here in this region? Is it possible? Yeah, it is. What's bad is when, you know, I present something like that and somebody might think, Well, I don't know. I mean, sounds kind of weird to me. All through Scripture, we see where people in one place did something and something happened somewhere else. We cannot let these things slide. We cannot neglect so great a salvation, as Scripture puts it. We are having an impact. Let's continue. Let's keep pressing in and war a good warfare with the prophecies that have gone before. Praise the Lord.